Can I get a true witness, false witness, A, B, C, D, all of the above, witness, true witness, false witness, D, C, B, A, all of the above, witness. This is a boys club witness. This is a girls club witness. This is a trap witness. This is a fuck witness. This is a witness. Music.
Wow. Podcast, we're going to talk about every movie released by New World Pictures, and we do mean every single movie.
For better or for worse.
I'm Ryan. With me, as always, is Mark.
I'm so confused.
And Erica.
I know who it was. Or do I? I do. Or do I?
And welcome to the first week of April Sweeps, where we're going to talk about the movies created by New World Television. We have yet to talk about anything made by New World Television, so we are finally delving in.
Oh, gosh.
Wasn't Death of the Incredible Hulk a
This
TV?
Is the first one we've ever done. Ever.
Objection.
Oh.
Death of the Incredible Hulk was a TV movie.
I'm not going to retain a criminal lawyer because I'm not guilty, but I have my malpractice attorney here to confirm that Death of the Incredible Hulk was also a TV. It was a TV.
I'm going to say that, like this movie, no trial will ever be seen or heard. So we only deal with investigation.
Point, counterpoint, Generation X was also a TV movie.
Guys, the point is we've
Mark's
never...
ready for miserable Mark's marvelous man.
Wait, no.
It's He's not ready.
It's not miserable Mark. It's Mark's miserable marvelous man. Although
maybe we mix it up this year.
Hey,
maybe
everybody,
we change it up.
I'm pretty miserable.
We're going to do it again. So we've barely dealt with anything released by New
there
World Television. But this month, we are going to dedicate ourselves to New World Television and all the wonderful TV movies that they made, starting with 1989's False Witness.
Felicia Rashad of The Cosby Show. Philip Michael Thomas of Miami Vice. Passionate lovers with political ambitions.
You might be looking at the next DA.
You're kidding.
Now, a violent crime will begin an investigation.
Rape?
More like mutilation.
A crime where no one is innocent.
Sandra Lee's a player, you know?
No, I don't know. Explain it.
Casual sex, that sort of thing.
And anyone could be guilty.
I
you got a long rap sheet, all dirty.
I also got my rights.
The glasses.
Dr. Steiner is an outstanding surgeon. You can't possibly consider him a suspect in such a bestial crime as that.
A mystery.
Don't comment.
That will change every life it touches.
My mother dies. Her blood is on your hands, Jacoby. Your hands.
Rules will be broken.
You're suspended until an investigation is complete.
Trust.
Got the wrong man on trial, Lynn.
Will turn to betrayal.
You're gonna be barbecue on the 6 o'clock news.
He's guilty, and I know it.
And the truth.
You did it!
Could destroy them all. Felicia Rashad. Philip Michael Thomas. False Witness. Oh.
That's right. 1989's False Witness, brought to you by The Tavern. New Orleans, one bar. If you're looking to celebrate being recently paroled or winning a big court case, the tavern has you covered. And it has to have you covered because, little known fact, New Orleans has only one bar in the entire city. Don't let Mardi Gras mislead you. One bar, one city, the tavern. That's it. This is the only place. You have to come here. Come early. It gets busy. It has to. The entire city comes to this bar, the tavern.
Funny, I thought this movie was brought to you by Care Ambulance. Any ambulance can take you to the hospital, but we care. At Care Ambulance, we don't skimp on the one service you look for when facing a life-threatening injury from a precision instrument, People who care.
Finally.
And that's funny, because I thought that this episode was brought to you by Orange Juice. Ready to break up with your workplace lover? Orange Juice, the only drink that will help you make a statement while you leave your workplace lover at her apartment. Orange Juice, the juice of stone cold breakups. Vitamin C, you later.
Well, this was a TV movie, so yeah. It makes sense that they had a lot of sponsorships.
Yeah, it sure did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is directed by Arthur Allen Seidelman, who directed 1970s Hercules in New York, the debut of Arnold Schwarzenegger. He went on to direct tons of TV shows, especially TV shows. TV shows like Hill Street Blues, Magnum P.I., and Murder, She Wrote. And prior to this movie, he had directed the Empire Pictures movie The Caller, which was released on Blu-ray by Vinegar Syndrome. And several other TV movies, but not other TV movies that New World made. So, but it was, question, he made him the perfect director for this.
Is that caller with an A or an O?
It's with an A. It's not It's not a movie. It's not a movie about a shirt.
I just wanted to be clear.
The stain just won't come out.
I didn't know if this was a Ring Around the Collar movie.
Okay. A shirt.
Out on its own on the line, putting everything it has,
wrapping itself around any neck it can.
You're not going to take that dog anywhere without the collar.
This was written by William Driscoll. He was a TV writer, so shocking. A familiar theme, who began his career in the late 1950s and went on to write for such legal dramas as The DA's Man and Owen Marshall, Counselor at Law. He also wrote on the TV show McMillan and Wife, which Rock Hudson starred in before he shot Avalanche.
I don't want that. I want a Bloody Mary.
The New World Pictures.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Always try to find some sort of loose connection.
It's loose, but it is
It's loose, but it worked. All right. This stars, of course, Felicia Rashad, who was Claire Huxtable in The Cosby Show, and eventually also Claire Huxtable in A Different World, which she would do for several years after this into the 90s. She would continue appearing in TV shows and TV movies. In fact, she starred in a TV movie, Polly, with her sister, Debbie Allen, that aired a month after this movie aired. Hmm. So also in 1989.
She was busy.
Very busy. And she would keep working in TV shows and movies throughout the 90s and 2000s. Mm-hmm. And recently, she has made some film appearances in the Creed trilogy, as well as, more recently, The Beekeeper. This also stars Philip Michael Thomas, who was just finishing his run on Miami Vice and was at a bit of a crossroads. I got this quote from him from an article where he says... he had been working, he had been offered several pilots for a potential series, of which this movie is a pilot for a potential series. And he says...
A series of what? Witnesses?
Exactly.
A series of false witnesses?
And where was he? What was his role going to be in the next episode?
I don't know.
Unpromoted, wounded.
Yeah.
Hospital guy number two? What was it?
I'd love to help you out with the case, but you got me in trouble, so I can't.
Yeah, I'm actually out on medical leave right now. Was that going to be the show?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's called medical leave.
Yeah.
Medical leave.
He said, quote, I've turned down Broadway shows and all kinds of things because I really just wanted to concentrate on my time and kind of get normal again, figuring out what the next step is for me, but not stopping the things that I love doing, like the music. Because he also had an album that he put out during Miami Vice and continued to do music as well. He said, I'm being very definite about my career moves because I really want to have some time open to do the things that I've developed. That's what he was saying about his career. Of course, he and Rashad knew each other. They had nearly worked together in the 1973 movie Book of Numbers until Rashad ultimately did not appear in that movie. But they did know each other for many years.
I would like to know what Broadway movie or Broadway shows he was considering at the time.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. He
what
doesn't
was he
say.
Turning down?
Apparently, right. Lots of
right.
things.
Right. I mean, I could say I was considering some Broadway shows, but
right,
I'm taking some time off.
Yeah. I was considering Pippin, but there wasn't just the part for me that spoke to me.
I was going to be a bit role in Hamilton, but then...
Yeah, I was going to do Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, but...
I guess I'll do False Witness instead.
Yeah. No big deal. That'll come around again.
I can always go back to that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's an open offer.
Right, right.
So though they knew each other already for 17 years... Here's what Thomas said it was like to work with Felicia Rashad. He said, quote, it was like magic. She had been wanting to work with me. I had been wanting to work with her. When she knew she was going to be doing the role, she asked for me specifically to do it. And I was like, no, thank you, Broadway, Felicia Rashad called. They didn't know if I would say
sorry,
yes.
Sorry, damn Yankees. Felicia Rashad called. Gotta go.
They didn't know if I would say yes or not, but I said yes, and it was just a dream come true.
I do not think that she was begging to work with him. I mean, she's still on the Cosby Show at this point,
right?
She's
but
not,
I mean, at that point, Miami Vice was a huge show, and he was a big star at the time. And he just finished.
She was on the Cosby Show.
She was and is everyone's mom.
Yeah, she could have been on anything at that time.
Sure.
He was a big star.
For sure.
But arguably, he was second fiddle in Miami Vice, right?
Yes. Now, the woman that produced this movie was also somebody who had cast him years ago. So I think the connections between him and Felicia Rashad.
So he had an open contract with this movie because he had turned it down earlier and then did Pippin.
Right.
And then he came
back. He turned Pippin down.
He turned Pippin down for this.
Yeah.
No, but I'm
Pippin
saying before
down,
when he was doing
and
Cats,
he turned down Hello
said,
Dolly. And they were begging to have him.
Right.
They were like, please, you'll be an amazing Dolly. And he was like, sorry, Felicia needs me.
Here's where you can watch False Witness. You can watch it on YouTube or Tubi.
Tubi.
There is no DVD, though. I think you can get an import.
No DVD. Sorry.
Oh, that's fine. It's time to talk about what this movie is about. Let's find out what False Witness is about. Mark, what is False Witness about?
Bobby Marsh, a renegade police investigator that plays by his own rules.
Yeah.
He investigates the brutal attack of a TV personality, but Bobby's not your textbook investigator. He doesn't try to match fingerprints or run blood tests for DNA. Nah. That's for suckers.
Mm-hmm.
He spends his time cruising bars in search of free drinks and hooking up with news reporters because that's how real investigating works. Because Bobby's work little, play hard attitude is all the city of New Orleans needs to make sure that justice is never served.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Do you want me to read that again? I can do it more passionate.
No.
Is this a tryout for Pippin?
Yeah, it is, but you nailed it. Don't worry.
You did not get Pippin. You did get Hello Dolly.
Yeah. You're Dolly, dude. Say no more.
Yeah, you nailed Dolly.
You're Dolly.
Good, Pippin.
Marty Preppin Wigs.
Good. Because I just tried out for Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, and it did not go well.
Did not go well.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. You're a Hello Dolly guy. Anyway.
Erica, what is this movie about?
This movie is about how dedicated your agent can be if you get the right agent. You get a good agent, that agent's willing to lie, falsify, do whatever it takes to keep you in the spotlight, in the limelight. That's what this movie's about.
Okay.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, you're talking about
the power of a good agent.
Yeah, the agent that
Reggie.
Reggie.
Yeah.
You're talking about Reggie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I think that's great.
Mm-hmm. Reggie. Yeah.
Oh, also police work and a brutal attack, some other stuff.
Right. No. But I think Reggie.
But my takeaway.
Reggie's the hero of this movie.
Yeah, thank you.
I did not realize where I knew the guy who plays Reggie was from.
I still don't know. So
I realized he is in Hard Target as the guy who finds, like, the people for them to hunt. That's who he plays.
That's really? Him?
Yeah.
Huh.
It's the same guy. I think he's a New Orleans actor. So he's
okay.
In a lot of stuff.
He's always at the tavern, is what you're saying.
He's always there. And
he's either at the tavern or at the hospital.
He's
because
the
also everyone hangs out at the hospital.
He's either at the tavern or he's at the tavern. There's only one place you can go. I thought this movie was about that investigating crimes is really tough work, but also boring. Really boring.
Mm-hmm. Tedious.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Also, not even really tedious, just boring.
Just boring. Yeah.
It requires a lot of conversation, just talking.
So much talking. Yeah.
Also, don't trust anyone with weird shoes.
Oh, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm. That's true then and now.
Right. Mm-hmm. True in 1989, it's true today.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't trust people that jog either.
Yeah. Or people whose legs are 3/4 of an inch shorter. One leg is shorter than the other leg. Watch out.
Right.
This is the Letterboxd synopsis.
Ooh.
Oh, boy.
It's not going to be long.
Oh, boy.
It's going to be very short.
Should I get loose for this? Should I stretch?
Nope. An assistant district attorney's, Felicia Rashad, co-worker, lover, Philip Michael Thomas, plans to prove her wrong about a case.
That's it?
That's it.
Wow.
Plans to prove her wrong about a case. This, if I'm reading this right, the movie is about him going, I'm going to prove her wrong. Here's my plan. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I don't think he has any such plan.
No. He has his own suspect, and she has her suspect, and that's the back and forth. That's it. But, I mean, I hand it to Letterboxd. It's tough. What do you say about this one?
Their relationship made me wonder, though, has this approach worked for him before? Where he's like, I got this. I got a recent parolee who's 100%. 100%.
He's always
frameable.
Looking for those recent parolees. That's
yeah.
what he's.
I mean, has this approach worked before? He's
apparently.
Just, oh, okay. Right.
Well, I mean,
I'm just saying, maybe. I mean,
I don't know. You said that really confidently, like you were a true witness to this happening before.
Well, he says at some point, like he says that he's the cynic, right? Or he says something like that, something to that effect.
He said so many things. The movie is constant talking,
it's
so you're going to have to be more specific.
It's a lot of chit-chat.
He's also in bed a lot, so.
Yeah, shirtless a lot, which
he's
I appreciate.
Shirtless a lot.
Yep. This also has another synopsis.
Oh,
because
what?
Wait, what?
Because this is based on a book by Dorothy Unack. So this is the synopsis for the book. So now strap in.
Now a strap on?
Strap?
Yep.
In?
Strap. I said strap on. Didn't say strap in. I said
did they
strap
turn
on.
Books into strap ons?
That's right.
Wait, hold
Bro.
On.
That's right.
Hold on. This is a cottage industry I can get behind.
You had to fold it in a delicate way.
It's like origami into strap-ons.
What is the book at reward for a strap-on book? It's more than a pizza.
Model turned television celebrity Sandra Lee Dawson lies on the kitchen floor of her sumptuous Manhattan apartment.
Full of pictures of herself.
Of herself. Sumptuous.
Imagine.
Have you ever lived anywhere that you would describe as sumptuous?
I would never describe pictures of myself as sumptuous. Pictures of a hamburger sumptuous? Yes. Maybe I need to decorate my place.
Is that why we have so many pictures of hamburgers in our house?
Because they are sumptuous.
Hanging on to life by a tenuous thread.
Wow.
This is her laying on the kitchen floor of her sumptuous apartment. The victim of a savage assault, she stuns everyone when she survives and identifies her attacker. So begins a case that leads law enforcement down a twisting path of secrets, lies, and false leads. One, Lynn, bureau chief of the district attorney's office, is fueled by ambition and her vow to bring a brutal killer to justice. But chief investigator Bobby Jones isn't sure they have the right man, and he hesitates to put his legal career and his affair with Lynn at risk. Actually, he seems very willing to put affair with Lynn at risk, because he's like, no, you're wrong. I'm right.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's also like, I'm going to also hook up with this TV reporter.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you piss me off just a little bit,
right.
Expect me to retaliate with someone else.
I'm going to take this out by going to the tavern and just meeting whoever I want.
So, so I take it back. He does want to put his affair with Lynn at risk. He's willing to do it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The victim herself, as the only witness to her rape, must go up against a monster who just might get away with it.
Is that the doctor?
I guess. I don't know who she must go up against a monster. Clearly the book has sections that we don't get in the movie. Because she doesn't ever go up against a monster. I mean, if we're talking about the shooting at the courthouse?
I mean, maybe, but...
She shoots two of the wrong people.
Yeah.
So, wait a minute. Hold on. So what you're saying is that the victim is the monster. Because she's the one that shoots two innocent people in the courtroom.
No, she must go up against the monster who just
Which
might
is get... herself.
Did you write the book? I thought Ryan said the author's name was a little different than yours. But...
I just watched the movie. I didn't read the book. I should have done both.
Yeah. This
obviously I'm a little behind.
Yeah. Then the writer, I mean, that's my Richard Bachman. I've been writing under a pseudonym for years.
Oh my gosh.
Dorothy Unek.
That's
Mark.
That's who Mark writes as.
Right. Yeah.
Dorothy Unek.
They'll never know it's
they'll
me.
They'll never know it's me.
Until tonight.
Mostly, though, that's a fairly accurate synopsis, because we do start the movie out in this very Sally, Jesse, Raphael-like TV show. Mm. And then...
You just lost all the youngs. Anyway, goodbye, young audiences.
They're like...
Sally, the name Sally, Jesse,
the
Raphael
what, the what, the what?
Nothing to you.
but really timely for
Hello
the 1980s.
Welcome to your Touchstones. Stay tuned. Got more
the olds are like,
you.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah those yeah. glasses. That
the youngs
hair.
Are like, I don't know. I have no idea what you're talking about. All right. And she does get attacked, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then...
After a good jog.
And
that's
luckily,
why I don't jog. That's, can't risk an attack.
Yeah,
right
I agree yeah. with you.
Somebody
I
as
agree.
Sumptuous as me jogging? You kidding me? My
Taking
neighborhood's not ready
for that. Sumptuous run?
They're not ready for that. I'll get attacked immediately. Too much sumptuousness.
But luckily, Felicia Rashad as Lynn and Philip Michael Thomas as Bobby are called in. But not first before they have a really steamy love scene.
Mm. Mm. So steamy.
I mean, as steamy as 1989's television can get you, which is not that steamy.
Well... According to Philip Michael Thomas, as he told the Abilene News reporter, he says, yes, we have an affair. If they didn't cut all those juicy love scenes out, you're in for an eye popper. Thomas laughs. You're gonna love it.
I show my dong.
That's what he's implying.
But do you think he's knows nothing happened, but he's like, hey, tune in. This is juicy.
Yeah, he's selling it. He's selling it.
This is like that friend because that you're like, they're like, come to my party. It's going to be awesome. I have so much liquor there. It's going to be nuts. He has like one bottle of Smirnoff. Right. You're like, dude, this is
not
nuts.
Even Smirnoff. It's like peppermint schnapps.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, this isn't nuts.
Dude, mix it with Coke. You know? Oh, you have cocaine?
Like,
no, Coca-Cola.
Like a minty Coke? Why? Ooh.
Yeah, dude, it's all I have. Actually, it's not Coke. It's actually just Safeway brand.
It's just cola.
Right.
It's cola.
It's just cola, dude.
Just cola. Yeah.
Just carbonated cola, bro. It's just like Coke, though.
Super good, dude.
I'm messed up right now, man. I've been drinking it all day.
But also, like, the Stevie Love scene that they have, it looks like two people that are friends who are like, I guess we have to kiss.
When we were watching it, Ryan's like, look how awkward their kiss is.
It's so awkward. They're like kissing like, I will lightly peck you on your lips.
There's an uncomfortable amount of neck and shoulder kissing where I'm like,
right. He really goes after her one shoulder.
Yeah,
one
there's shoulder. Nothing sexy about a shoulder.
And he's like on the back shoulder because he's like, I won't do it on the front.
No.
Don't worry. No, just the back.
Too close to your armpit.
I have to hide my face.
You barely notice I'm here.
Because I like for my steamy sex to be subtle.
And like, mostly shoulder-based.
And negligible. Barely there. But luckily for Sandra Lee, they are there because,
What did we do last night? You don't remember? No.
Exactly. I don't remember either.
But wait till you see the videotape. It's nuts.
Did you videotape it? No. I didn't.
I was super respectful. You fell asleep and just kissed your shoulder and I went home. Fucking nuts. Wait till you see it. It's crazy.
And I went home and I had some schnapps.
Oh, man.
Generic cola.
I had some leftover lasagna in the fridge. And I just had some town on it.
I went wild at the tavern. All right. Luckily, they are on the case because here they are interrogating a witness and truly getting the job done.
Are you sure no one was following her?
Not sure, no.
But you must look at something when you jog, right?
A tree, a bench, a flower,
other people?
Yeah, you do that too. Especially beautiful girls like Sandra Lee.
Try, Mr. Wellman, anyone at all.
There was this one jogger. I didn't really look at his face.
What was he wearing?
Dark blue warm-up. Maybe he jogged after her. I don't know.
Do you remember anything else about him?
His shoes. They were a kind I never saw before. Something unusual about them. But I'm not real sure about any of this.
Look, I want you to call me if you remember anything else, if you see anyone suspicious around here. You might be a prosecution witness down the line.
Yeah, get him on the stand.
Mm-hmm.
What did you see? I don't really know.
A bench? A guy,
maybe in blue? Mm-hmm. What did he have? He had some unusual shoes. Cool. Say no more. Mm-hmm. We'll call you.
Yeah.
Right. Wait, what about those shoes? Why were they weird? What was going on with them? We're good.
When you say weird, what do you mean?
Nope.
How do you mean weird?
We're good. We're good. We've got enough.
You had me at the jog and look at benches and trees. You're our guy.
What do you look at when you run? A tree?
I definitely don't look at people's faces. That's weird. Never
pretty
look in their
girls.
Face.
Pretty girls.
Never look in their eyes. Never look in their eyes when you're running.
Bench. Tree. Ooh, pretty girl. Shoes. Bench. Check out that bench.
Also,
this guy is the least observant person. And they're like, he's a key.
Key witness.
Please call us.
We're key witness.
To bring you into trial.
Also, for the listeners, this is when the movie's still somewhat interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is an early scene when you're like, okay, we're cool. Starting to.
But by early, we also mean about 20 minutes in. So this is still, we're in. We're in.
Well, this movie's 4.5 hours long. It's still early relative to the overall length of the movie.
It's actually only around, it's only about an hour and a half, but you won't know that.
False.
You won't.
That sounds false.
I watched Das Boot twice during the time that I watched this movie.
It has
just had them playing concurrently.
It has an Oppenheimer length feel to
right.
it.
Right.
Oh, look at Ryan bringing the Youngs back. Good job.
Like, I've heard of it.
I've heard of it. Sure.
But that's a movie for olds.
Mm-hmm.
Now Ryan's going to do a Jerry Springer reference just to bring it
back. Just forever. The olds go. Oh, you talk about Youngs for a second, and I was like, oh, I'm losing my touch. All right.
Also, I want to point out, Sandra Lee's audience for her show sounds remarkably similar to the audience that we had for the Roger Corman birthday special. It's a lot of just, oh.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I was like, are you also at a coffee shop?
I thought you were
going to
awkwardly bring up our numbers for that episode. Guys, we gotta do more. Gotta get the word out.
Want to thank all the 25 people that listened to that episode. Really appreciate it,
guys. I'm doing everything I can. Bench, tree, shoes.
There's not just Lynn and Bobby who are investigating this. We also have a news reporter who is in on the investigation, played by Robin Mattson from New World's Candy Stripe Nurses.
I was wondering
and In-N-Out. Yes.
I was like, where did she go?
Yep.
I swear I've seen her. Because
she's
before.
Got long hair, but she's had short hair
right.
in the movie when she hooks right. up with a basketball player.
Right. Mm.
She was also in New World Television's Santa Barbara, where she played a villainous character. So this was a bit of a...
Was this a series? Like, are there many episodes of
Santa
Barbara?
Barbara was a soap opera.
I can't wait to watch Santa Barbara. Ooh, I can't wait.
I don't know.
Santa Sember. Nov Barbara.
And she intends to be the next Barbara Walters, and she seems well on her way.
It's still bedlam here outside the French Quarter apartment of ex-model and talk show hostess Sandra Lee Dawson, who was rushed to Hope Hospital just minutes ago after a brutal attack. Back to you, Terry.
That's very sad news, Jody. Do the police have anything to go on?
Not that we've been told.
Could it be linked with her talk show?
Well, Terry, I think that's certainly possible considering her subjects. This attack could simply be a cover for those who want to quiet this celebrated lady whose show has become increasingly controversial.
Just the natural repartee of a news host and a reporter.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I know that I don't mean to be a false witness in this episode, but that was my favorite scene.
Wow.
That is some of the worst reporting I've ever seen in my life. And she becomes a major part of this movie.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought when they first show that, I thought that's going to be a one-off that we'll never get back to.
Mm-hmm.
Then she plays.
Then
a
she
major
shows up
part.
At the tavern.
Mm-hmm.
The tavern. The.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, could it be her TV show? The one thing we know about her that could be the link to this? She's like, could be. And also love that she calls her this celebrated lady.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyone with the name Sandra Lee.
Sandra Lee.
Is celebrated.
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't she making like a whole line of baked goods?
I think that's Sara Lee. That's right. Sara
that's
Lee.
I wondered why.
I can understand why you get them confused.
Hungry when
you
I heard.
You can call me Eric Lee if you want. That.
But to
like
your
a
point,
win.
Ryan, is Sandra Lee one word or is it Sandra?
It is.
Space.
It
Lee?
Is. Sandra Lee.
Sandra Lee.
Sandra Lee.
Sandra Lee. Mm-hmm. Sandra Lee.
And is she local or national? Her show because.
Local.
Based
I'm
on
pissed
that,
off
based
now.
On that local. Audience,
I'm pissed off about
that
her name.
Audience.
Local.
Is, that's a local
but
audience.
A show that everyone watches.
Locally
apparently.
In
yeah,
New
locally.
Orleans.
Look, because it's broadcast at the tavern.
Right.
It's the only place that people gather.
Of course.
That makes sense. Okay.
The tickets are always free. Everybody gets popcorn before the show.
Ooh,
you know how it
popcorn?
Is.
Popcorn?
Yeah. It's the Good Day LA of New
mm-hmm,
Orleans.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now we've just eliminated everyone who doesn't live in Los Angeles.
but I'm not. But wrong.
But for those in Los Angeles, you're like
you're accurate. Loving this.
Accurate.
Thank you for listening.
Accurate. Philip Michael Thomas though isn't the only one working for Felicia Rashad. There's also Lucy, who is played by Jocelyn O'Brien. This is her only New World appearance, and it took me a while to figure out who she was and why she was in this movie.
A former nun, Ryan. She explained
yes.
it. A former nun who cannot forgive people.
Mm-hmm. True.
And becomes an assistant to the assistant district attorney.
Mm-hmm. But put
the pieces together. Be an investigator.
I'm here to watch. They are supposed to put the pieces together, Mark. This is how this works.
I'm just You're about I as didn't... good of an investigator as Bobby.
Right. Because you guys did it. I know it. And I'm going to figure out
also,
a way to make it stick.
In the meantime, Lucy can't forgive. So if you bump into her in the grocery store and you're like, excuse me. And she's like, not sorry.
No.
You're dead.
She can't forgive. Oh, good. I have hiccups. This will be great for the episode. Terrific.
Yikes.
All good podcasters have hiccups when they're recording.
I just meant that I didn't realize that Lucy and Philip Michael Thomas are rarely in the same scene. They only appear together twice in the whole thing. So like it's Philip Michael Thomas and Felicia Rashad together a bunch, and then all of a sudden this other lady comes in and it's like, oh, are they all?
Because she's the actual investigator.
Well, I mean, she's the investigator that Felicia Rashad trusts,
right? But also, what is the role of an
she's
investigator?
She's the one investigator that she's not sleepy with,
right? But because she's a former nun,
mm-hmm. because she kisses on the front part of the shoulder. She's like, no,
that's dirty.
I say no to that. Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Can you help me understand what's the difference between I thought this was clear to me up until when I watched this movie. What's the difference between an investigator for the police and a district attorney? Because it seems like they do this, or more specifically, the assistant district attorney. Don't they? It seems like they do the same thing.
Right.
Do district attorneys typically go to a suspect's home and search the home for evidence?
What about hanging out outside and just casually watching what they're doing inside the house?
If, you know, decades of Law and Order has taught us anything, that there's a police portion and then a legal portion. Mm. But this movie says, we don't care about the police. Mm. And I do think there's investigations that the district attorney's office will do. I think they do look into things. But whether they have two opposing investigators that don't work together, that work on different leads. I mean, I don't know, I guess.
But do they,
according
to
this
movie,
investigate
the evidence that's collected by the police, or do they actually go and find evidence themselves?
Apparently, they're on call to come to crime scenes.
Also, I've never watched CSI.
So I said Law and Order, but
either
but
one.
Good to know about CSI.
Never scratch that. Reset. I've never watched Law & Order, so I have no idea what you're talking
CSI about.
You
said CSI first. Ruining every take.
Scratch
to
that.
Keep in
Remove the CSI. And 1, 2, 3. I've never watched
CSI.
Never watched Law & Order.
But I mean,
that's a good bit. We should keep that in.
I've only watched the regular Law and Order. I never watched Special Victims Unit or anything.
They call
the
pushy
options.
Law and Orders the ones that,
the shitty ones.
You're a purist. You only stick to the original.
Sorry, guys. I can't watch the other ones.
Right. It's like me and how I'll never watch the Halloween remakes. Like I only stick to the originals.
Well, but Mark, you've watched a bunch of the other Halloweens, which are on their own weird timelines. Did you watch the Rob Zombie Halloweens?
No.
No. So no. You haven't watched those either?
No. No.
Wow. No. Okay. Okay.
No, because it was retconning the whole thing. And I understand that six...
It's not retconning, Mark. It was rebooting.
But his movies...
I'm not saying they're good. I'm not sticking up for his movies. I'm just saying that... I mean, I didn't like his Halloweens, but...
Sounds like a good time for things we loved and things we
hold
did.
Hold on a second.
One second
before we do it. We have one more clip.
We have not covered anything in this movie.
Let's keep talking about Halloween, I guess.
Right. We're like, what do we want to talk about? Oh, I know. Halloweens. As the synopsis of the book at least said, this becomes a suspect off with Philip Michael Thomas, Felicia Rashad.
Sounds hot.
And she thinks that she knows it's the doctor. He says
hot. Sounds hotter than it is.
And he like a thinks
it's on the shoulder.
It's just not sexy.
Yeah, but yours was just so like
soft.
Like
soft kiss.
Like barely touching.
It's a kiss that asks, is this okay? Is this okay?
We're friends and also colleagues.
Oh shit, that's funny.
This won't piss off Ahmad, right? He played football and I don't want to upset him.
Oh. I've seen him when he comes to pick you up. He looks strong. And I can't risk my body before we do damn Yankees.
I need my feet
to
dance.
It's a lot of numbers in that.
Okay, so eventually Bobby takes it on himself to go to Sandra Lee and show him a picture of the suspect he believes is the one, which leads him into this scuffle with Lynn.
Why didn't you come to me with Sandra Lee's revised statement?
I was coming to you, like I always do after I finished the research. See, I didn't know what Reggie Morris was going to do.
Didn't you?
No.
But you did know how important it was to me, Bobby.
Look, you're still going to get the job done, Lynn. All we got to do is put Kevin Masters on the lineup. Sandra Lee will finger him, and the media will forget all about this little interlude.
Monday morning, before I go to court, I want a report of exactly what happened in your exchange with Sandra Lee and Reggie Morris. And then you turn over your active files to Lucy. You're suspended until an investigation is complete.
You sure you want this?
Yes.
You're missing a golden opportunity, Lynn, to make things better.
Better for whom, Bobby?
Better for yourself. Better for the DA. Better for me. You got the wrong man on trial, Lynn.
Monday morning, Bobby. On my desk. You snake.
There it is, the former nun.
The former nun calls him a snake. That's like God calling you a snake. That is a double insult.
I don't know. I think you're a former nun. I don't know that you have the same gravitas at that point anymore.
She gave it up. She gave it up.
Okay, guys, take it up with God.
But the question that I have is leading at the end of this movie, before we go to things we loved and things we hated, I have to ask you, when this movie is about to get all wrapped up and Philip Michael Thomas, Bobby, is with a little on this shoulder. Yeah.
Is this okay? Is this okay? Is this okay?
Wait.
Was that too much? Was that too much? Say it if it was too much.
I'm sorry, I licked my lips. I shouldn't have done that. I should have done dry lips.
That was aggressive.
It was a bold move. I just went for it.
Oh, the kisses are so bad in this movie. Mark, what's something that you loved about False Witness?
Something that I loved is... the fact that they said on a number of occasions, unicorn tip.
Ooh, good call.
I have never been so disturbed and sort of turned on by two words in my entire life.
Weird. Okay.
And and they said it.
I can see why you always wanted to watch Legend alone.
But they said, they never put those words together. They said repeatedly, he got cut on the cheek by that unicorn tip.
It wasn't a unicorn tip. It's a unicorn's horn. Everybody knows that.
It said tip. I rewound
they kept
it.
Calling
it said
tip.
Tip. Unicorn tip.
Yeah.
Do unicorns have a very sharp tip?
I'm sure they do.
I guess so.
Do you know what I mean? Sure, I'm not talking about their horn.
He was sliced on the cheek by a unicorn's schlong?
They said tip. I don't know.
My no, it gosh. Was. It was the unicorn's horn, and that was the unicorn's tip. And they used like a Chef Mate 1540 to sharpen it up real nice. You know, you got the three stages. You get the unicorn tip into that first one to get the burr on the edges of that tip. And then the second one to hone it down. The third one to buff it.
Are we trying to get a Chef Mate to sponsor the podcast?
Chef Mate, call us.
Come on,
info
Chef
at New World Pictures Podcast. We are ready.
Guys, I think Chef Mate needs to get involved with this podcast that talks about this dead movie studio.
I cannot emphasize enough how many times we can introduce Chef Mate into our episodes.
That's right.
New World Pictures movies are ripe for some Chef Mate.
We can sneak it in there.
Yeah.
Look, they appealed to
we
olds.
We can sneak it in, or
and
we
they
can
briefly
overtly.
Appealed to youngs before they talk them out of it.
Yeah. Or we can just overtly say Chef Mate whenever you want. No problem, Chef Mate. Anyway, Erica's turn to talk Chef Mates. Here we go. Chef Mate, Mia Morse. Let's do it.
Erica, what's something you love, Chef Mate?
Hey, Chef Mate. Thanks for asking. What I loved about this movie was Felicia Rashad. I loved her from start to finish.
Of course.
She did her thing.
She's
she
amazing.
Did her dramatic look, her little... gotcha, like, smile. I loved it. She was great and beautiful and elegant, wonderful from start to finish. Loved her.
Yeah, she's even great. When her character is first introduced, when they're jogging, she's wearing basically a Bill Cosby sweater while running.
Yeah,
and a
big blue headband. And I thought, you know, exercise apparel has changed a lot over the years.
Sure.
Some of it, not for the better.
Yeah,
we should all be wearing that. In a striped sweater.
Right. Agreed.
Like you got the shirts with the moisture wicking. It's like, or do I get a cable knit sweater?
Yeah. Or just soak a sweater in your sweat, and wring it out when you're done, and ready for
you're
the next
good.
Day.
And you're good.
Nature's moisture wicking is wool.
It lifts it off your body.
If it works for sheep, so it works for me. Let's jog.
Speaking of jogging, the thing I loved was something I noticed on like an additional viewing, which is that when Felicia Rashad and Philip Michael Thomas are interrogating somebody outside of the tavern, or actually no, when they are in the tavern, they've come back out and they're talking out on the street. Right behind Philip Michael Thomas, to the door of the tavern, comes a guy in a full jogging outfit. It runs up to the door. To open the door, and I was like, so joggers just are like, I'm done, to the tavern.
Yeah, get there. Like
isn't that the
flame.
Dream, Ryan?
What?
Isn't that the dream?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
To be like, I did, I just...
Mark, it's something I love.
But I'm saying, but you're saying
it's not
that...
something I hated.
But you're introducing it with something like, that's confusing.
No, well...
I think we should all tomorrow go for about a 4-mile jog, where the end is... A tavern.
4 miles?
Well, that's good. You got to get over 20 minutes.
Can Mark see me? I'm good for maybe 4 minutes of jogging at max.
But in a cable knit sweater, that'll
give you the
extra... In a cable
knit sweater, you'll be fine.
Yeah,
2 minutes of jogging in a cable knit sweater.
Okay, let's switch to things we hated. Mark, what's something you hated?
Sandra Lee. I mean, jeez. She, first of all, she is the definition of over the top.
Mm-hmm. She is.
The show is over the top.
Yeah.
Her reactions are over the top. Mm-hmm. Her shooting innocent people is over the top. I mean, come on. She ain't no Ricky Lake.
It's a little much. It's a little much the way you shoot two innocent people.
Ricky Lake never shot anyone. Is that the olds or the mids that gets Ricky Lake?
That's a good one, because Hairspray is in there. Hairspray's in the mix, so maybe it's mids. It's mids.
Maybe.
Mids. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Erica, what's something you hated?
Oh, I hated this movie.
Okay.
It was absolutely a book turned into a movie, because I imagine if you're reading this, you're like, But here's the thing that happens sometimes when you make a book a movie. It's not all good. Sometimes what works in a book...
You can say that about movies.
Well, sometimes what works in a book on the page...
Sure.
Great. But when it's just people sitting there talking, not great.
Well, you're assuming that the book is good, number one. And I appreciate you going with that assumption that a book is good. Because the book may be bad. But they did make a movie out of it, so you'd think, like, this is a compelling book.
I think the book sounds good. This movie could be good. It just needed a little more... It needed some more
kissing
movement.
On the shoulders?
Definitely some more kissing on the shoulders. But it just needed more movement. I think when you have a static scenes of just people sitting and talking...
Yeah.
Now people standing and talking. Now people sitting again and talking. It's too much.
Yeah, there's no movement. Much. There's no energy. It's very
There was nothing keeping static. It going. So it never felt tense. It never felt...
No.
I was like never confused about who it was going to be.
I mean, that scene that we played where Felicia Rashad basically fires Philip Michael Thomas, that's only good because she's good and he's good. But that's... It. I mean, the
and
scene
that's
is like
a huge moment. Like she fires him after they boned.
No, they didn't.
Possibly.
No, they didn't. They just like
they shoulder boned.
They just shoulder boned.
They shoulder boned, and that's
they did
something.
Some shoulder kissing.
You know.
He got on first.
So light. The thing I hated was the fact that I had learned before we watched it that this was supposed to be a series. And then you watch it and you're like, how on earth? How could this have been a series?
It was a series of Lucy the Nun and her further adventures.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. Is it just more cases that Felicia Rashad investigates? I don't know how you... Well, yeah. I don't know how Philip Michael Thomas is. I just... It's confusing. All right, let's go to our favorite scenes, Mark.
I already said my favorite scene is when Jody, the field reporter, is showing her great investigative skills. But I would say my follow-up is also Felicia Rashad's outfit when they're jogging. I mean, just wow.
Tremendous.
Tremendous.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we've already talked about it. Erica, how about you?
Oh, my favorite scene is... bringing Sandra Lee to the courtroom where she then goes nuts and shoots the not correct suspect and shoots Bobby.
Yeah. The Bobby is bringing in that he has shown her pictures of
the
and
staged
made her think,
kinda,
it's not the doctor. It's this guy. She shoots that guy and also shoots Bobby.
Yeah.
Crack shot.
I mean, she is a good shot, quite frankly. Yeah. Two shots, two men down.
But not dead. They both live.
Right. Well, this is a TV movie. So where the shot on Bobby, it's right at his heart.
Sure.
So
he's
dead. He should be dead.
He's dead. Yeah. But he's not dead.
But when he's feeling better, he's in Trubs.
I would argue he was in Trubs because he got shot in the heart. Yeah. But
he's in Trubs. He is going to be charged with obstruction of justice and also charged with 16 bars in a monologue because he has been called back for Godspell. He's in the callbacks. So just 16 bars of a song and a monologue, and then we'll see you there.
Godspell. What is he playing in Godspell?
You'll see. I can't release the cast list early. Not before we finalize it.
Wow.
He's like, I'm excited, but I want to hear if I got called back for chorus line. Yeah. I really hope, really hope, really hoping. My favorite scene, it's maybe not so much a scene as a line, but when Felicia Rashad goes in and investigates the doctor.
Just 1 second. Is it Felicia or Felicia?
Felicia.
You said Felicia.
Felicia many times, and when you're up to it, when you're up for it,
yeah,
you're in trouble for obstruction of Felicia.
You said before the episode, how do we pronounce it? And I'm like, it's Felicia Rashad. And now I'm like second guessing myself.
You're saying Felicia.
Felicia. Yeah.
Felicia.
Falakaka.
Like militia, but with a V.
Felicia. Felicia. I can't any
Penelope Rashad.
I don't even know.
Totally wrong.
Yeah. I've never.
Felipe Michael Thomas, right?
She's been Felicia Rashad my whole life. All of a sudden, I'm like, hi, Felicia Rashad?
Focaccia Rashad.
Focaccia Rashad? So there's one scene, and when Felicia Rashad. There's a scene where Felicia Rashad
You're
talks
still
to the doctor.
Felicia.
Is it Felicia or Felicia?
There's a scene where Felicia Rashad talks to the doctor, and she's interrogating him, and she's like, do you run, doctor? And he was like, did the marathon in under 4 hours. And I was like, dude, I mean, especially when it comes to like how the movie ends, you're like, why would you admit to that? And also why you just casually like, I gotta go. But also, I fucking rule in marathons.
Right.
Just that whole attitude. Right.
Could I be guilty? Maybe, because I fucking kick ass at marathons. See ya.
Right. And it turns out also later, I am guilty. So I'm giving you everything you need because I need to brag about how
rad I am. And when the lawyer's like, he's like, shut up.
No.
Shut your mouth.
Shut up. I'm an awesome runner.
See, that's the thing. Sometimes when faced with a conflict, some people just cannot fucking back down. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, really?
Yeah.
They have to bro out no matter what.
They have to trigger.
Even when it's against their best interest, they're like, no, I can't. My bro out instinct kicks in.
He's like, I'm sorry, I can't talk right now. I'm a doctor. I'm busy with other things. She was my patient. I don't follow her. I don't know her, whatever. Dude, but do you even marathon, bro? Oh, bro, I marathon. Oh, bro, I marathon so hard.
It's under 4 hours.
Below 4 hours. I marathon so hard. You would never know, and neither would Sandra Lee. She sucks. That's why I ran right after her and almost
murdered
her.
Ask my mom. Ask my weak-ass hearted mom. That bitch would die today. I'm so good at marathons.
And I would never kiss your shoulders ever in a million years.
Ever.
I've kissed some of the hottest women's shoulders, and you're not one of them.
I wouldn't kiss them softly. I wouldn't kiss them sumptuously.
I've taken a unicorn tip to the face, yo. Still ran that marathon under 4 hours.
It's so amazing. All right. Let's go to some final questions. Our final questions for False Witness. And since we were basically on the topic, what was up with the doctor and his mom?
I don't know.
I mean,
is he living with his mom still?
I think so.
He goes and has dinner at his mom's, mm-hmm. but they are very close.
Mm-hmm.
Only child.
Yeah, felt like he only child vibes.
Only child.
Only child.
And he's unmarried, right? For a middle-aged dude.
Yes.
Who's still.
Oh, he's married to his career.
Married to marathon running.
And marathon running.
Married to marathon.
And being a straight-up bro.
Yeah.
Killing it on marathons.
He also teaches a class.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
He does.
This guy's busy.
Busy. Mm-hmm. He's got a lot going on. Oh.
He also doesn't follow up on other people's patients, so.
The other favorite scene I would have been them interrogating his class,
which also felt like like an acting class.
Yes.
Totally. I mean, if you watch that and you don't realize you're talking to a doctor's class, you would be like, "Oh, these are the drama students."
And the one student,
at first
the one
I
college
thought it was.
Student who's balding and wearing like a polo shirt. Good
yes.
for you, bro.
There's people in that class that are middle.
Just because I have a polo shirt on and I'm bald doesn't mean you have to point this out. Come on.
And hey, congrats for going back to school. Good for
I'm
you, bro.
Trying to better myself.
Also, thank you for always wearing a polo shirt when you record.
I like to dress appropriately. Because if you dress the part,
right.
you are the part.
Oh.
And you dress like a middle-aged college student.
Look, that's the only way I'm going to get on Maury Povich.
That's
Wow. Whoa. Maury Povich. Whoa.
The olds are high-fiving and the youngs are like, what? Mm-hmm. Why? Who?
Do that DNA test. That's what he was good for.
In the movie, Felicia Rashad says her favorite movie.
He's back to Felicia. Just for those who are keeping score.
God, I can't get it out of my head.
Felicia.
Yes. In the movie, Felicia Rashad says her favorite movie is the Michael Caine movie, The Ipcress Files. I'm wondering, what's your favorite Michael Caine movie?
Do I have to? Can I phone a friend?
You can think of a Michael Caine movie. The Island.
I was going to say that. And then I was like, do I say that or do I say Dirty Rotten Scoundrels?
Or Jaws 4.
I didn't really like that one very much. Wasn't he in Blame It on Rio also?
He was? Yeah.
I'm going to stick with The Island.
Okay, very good. Erica?
Batman.
1989 with Michael Keaton?
No, the Michael Caine one that he's in. You said Michael Caine, right?
Michael Caine, yes.
Yeah. Not
I'm
Keaton.
Just saying. Those movies are called Batman Begins, The Dark Knight, or The Dark Knight Rises. One of those three are the Michael Caine Batman movies. So, we talked about Sandra Lee shot two people. Should she also perhaps have been charged with some sort of crime?
100%.
Yeah.
Now why is she not in jail?
Yeah. How did she right? not?
Or she attempted shot murder?
Two, in public. She's mm-hmm. endangered the public.
Yeah.
She's
attempted murder.
But they say that kind of. They're like, in that news wrap up, they're like, she'll need extensive therapy
yeah.
or something like that.
Yeah, it's called jail.
By the way, we talked about Philip Michael Thomas's music career. He wrote a song in 1993, which became the theme song for the city of Miami.
What?
But recently, there has been a call for another song from an artist named Biana to become the theme song for the city of Miami.
Okay.
Which one do you think would be better? Let's start with the Philip Michael Thomas song. This is his theme song for Miami called My Miami.
It's hot. It's cool. It's a tropical duel. Paradise here in the sun. Crystal blue waters, windsurfers and sailors, sandcastles and kids by the sea. Colors that sparkle on buildings like ice cream. Come taste this wet wonderland. Football, baseball, basketball, dolphins, violins and heat. Rich and the famous, Miami can't be beat. Lots of friendly faces, a tropical oasis, 24/7 a day. It's hot, it's cool, it's a tropical jewel. My, paradise here in the sun. Dog track and horse.
I mean, besides the fact that it sounds like a preset for a Yamaha personal synthesizer,
right?
That's a jam.
That is a total jam.
Straight up jam.
My am I?
Yeah.
Ooh, did you just come with like my that? Just he just came up with that.
My am I? I mean, oh, that is wow. Oh, wow.
That is.
So this yeah, is a recent. This
my bags
year.
Are packed. I'm ready to go to Miami right now.
Biana, this is her track about Miami.
Good luck.
Okay.
Good luck.
Oof. We'll stiff see. Competition.
We'll see. This is old versus be young.
Here we go. See, I'm from Mama City. In Miami, we stay pretty. All my girls, we know the work. We stay humble, always witty. If you're not trotting down the street, maybe you can't take the heat. Palm tree shade on my bikini. This the anthem of my city. In Miami, 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 me.
I mean, besides the production value is significantly higher.
For sure. For sure.
Did she say something about shaving her bikini?
Mm-hmm. And also, yeah. She lives where we vacation.
Yep. And she rhymed paradise with nice.
Oh, I thought this would be a no-brainer. I thought it'd be just a case closed.
It is, it turns out. It's tough. I mean, I'm going with Philip Michael Thomas as an official TM old. I have to stick with his version. I really dig his version. I hate to say it.
Yeah, I gotta say, if you remember the Tempest Bledsoe show, then you're gonna go with
I mean, you're dead on right about that being a preset on a keyboard.
Oh, totally. It is 100% a preset. Like, but Philip Michael Thomas is, I mean, his
amazing.
It screams 80s.
With all due respect to Bianna, great job. But
hers is arguably a better song.
For sure.
And better
not
rhymes,
a preset.
And better production. But I'm going to go old school.
Yeah,
on
I'm
this.
Going old school. Yeah. Erica?
Those eyes. Those cruel eyes. Those cruel Miami eyes.
Bring it back to False Witness.
I can't be a tiebreaker. That's two against one. Oh, okay. I don't know. Kind of like the Young song.
You like the Bianna? Yeah.
Okay. No.
She hooked me with We Live or You Vacation.
No. It's good. It is really good.
It's good.
It's really good.
All right. Speaking of Philip Michael Thomas, here's something he said about Miami Vice when he was interviewed about this movie. He said, quote, "I still think that Vice could have gone on for a couple more years and that it could have been even more development, especially in Tubbs's character. I mean, you never saw where he lived or saw his parents. In terms of creating a full human being, which takes time in the writing, it could have gone on forever."
Forever?
Forever?
Oh, just endless.
True. Did we ever learn about Crockett's parents?
Well, we learned about his... do we meet his parents? I don't know. But we did learn more about his family situation since he had an ex-wife and his son.
Yeah, but we... Forever, no. I mean, you just can't...
It only went 5 seasons, though, which just seems, I mean, a little...
It is short.
It was an expensive show, though.
And last season, it was...
Well, it's not cheap to live in Miami, me. Everybody
true.
Knows that.
True. This tells me about Philip Michael Thomas. He's the guy who's like, why are we stopping, guys? Let's just keep it going.
Like, he just pulled in and was like, wait, where are the trailers? What happened? Oh, yeah, we stopped the show.
Yeah, we're not doing it anymore.
What?
But why not?
What?
There's so much more we can do.
What?
He's like, hold on. Takes his headphones off, pauses Miami Me. He's like, because he just listens to it all the time.
Why are we stopping? What?
Guys.
What?
Wait, what? I just turned down a role for Starlight Express.
I just learned how to skate, you assholes.
I was
going to
be in Brigadoon, you motherfuckers. And now I have to
And I said, no, we got to do season 6 of Miami Vice. I can't do it.
Shit.
Brigadoon. I guess.
Brigadoon.
I mean, my agent just brought me the script for this movie with Felicia Rashad. So.
Here's some quick research. This was, as we mentioned, shot in New Orleans. Philip Michael Thomas said that.
The research? That it was shot in New Orleans?
Shot in New Orleans.
Buy a t-shirt, everyone.
Yeah. Fine. Can you believe it? He said the production was, quote, "a lot of fun. The climate was similar to Miami in terms of the heat."
Dude loves Miami.
Loves it.
I can see why you went for his version.
But loves
it.
But there was
you can feel it in his voice. Yeah. Like, this is a guy that loves
it. He loves it.
He's not looking for a paycheck.
No, he loves
it. I might be swayed.
But there was
that
a different kind of...
listen to the song a few more times.
Listen, yeah. You gotta listen more.
Yeah.
Her song.
Thank you.
It's cool. It's a tropical dew. Paradise here in the sun.
Gotta love that he talks about it before he starts singing about it.
Crystal blue water, the wind surfers and sailors, sandcastles and kids by the sea.
I mean, what else do you want?
Yeah. Crystal blue waters.
I mean, come on.
Sandcastles and kids by the sea?
Come on. It's something for everybody. Come on, you bitch. Just get on board.
He was just writing about what was happening in front of his house. He was just looking out and he's like, oh, kids.
I don't know.
He just wrote stuff down. Wrote it down. He was like, this is what I'm observing.
Kids by the sea, this shit writes itself.
Yeah. Where Bianna was like, let me write some stuff down about this Mm-hmm. He was like,
let me rhyme some things.
Writing what, like, I'm looking at.
Doesn't need to rhyme.
If we listen to the song longer, he'd be like, picked up some aspirin and took
and took a shower, Miami. Washed off my balls and my pitties are sweaty. Put on my loafers and hopped on the jetty. Got some pie, Miami.
He's just going through his day. We didn't get that far.
Picked up my prescriptions and then got some coffee. It's 3:00. It's my sleepy time of the day.
Do not wake up Philip Michael Thomas at 3:30.
No.
Let That's him have a full 45
and needs a nap before the early matinee performances.
Okay, this is what he said about New Orleans. He said, I lived a block from Bourbon Street and jazz was just everywhere. I love working with Felicia. She's a wonderful woman and great actress. And here's what we talked about, the producer and co-executive producer Renee Valenti, who was the casting director who cast me in my first television show, which is an episode of an early 70s police drama called Toma. So that's what he said about that. This aired October 23rd, 1989 on NBC, playing opposite Monday Night Football. Mm. Bears visiting the Browns in Cleveland. Which, if you're trying to launch a TV show, potentially, on the success of this. Now, understand, this is going for the female crowd, as this movie often, or, you know, was about female issues and stuff. Right. But
ladies love movies about other ladies getting attacked. We love that. We're like, ooh, can we watch another one of us get sliced up? Love
but
it.
But also, like, how often when you're so, you're trying to get the female crowd, but if they're married and they have somebody who loves football, like, do they can't watch both unless you happen to have two TVs, which at the time wasn't always
you could get picture in picture. You could watch false witness in the corner while the Browns and Bears play on the big screen.
Hey, let me get closer to the TV.
Hey, go watch your ladies show. I got it on. Look, it's in a tiny box there. There you go.
It's a tiny box in the corner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on.
You're good. Enjoy.
Anyway, it just seems like a bad thing to try to start your potential TV show during Monday Night Football.
What that sounds
regardless
like
regardless of
is,
trying to go for a different audience.
What that sounds like is the network was like, this is a dog.
Right.
And we're going to put it out on Monday Night Football.
We'll see if we can get the female crowd to watch this
or not, or we'll just run it the one time that we're contractually obligated to do.
Right.
And we're going to be like, did it.
It did go out on VHS though in the UK and released by New World Video
with all
in
those
1990.
Sexy.
Like I said, it was going to be potentially a TV show, and while being interviewed in several articles that I read about Philip Michael Thomas talking about the show, he said, they asked him, but how with Rashad in the lead role? And he said, well, Cosby is not going to last forever, he says.
But Miami Vice will.
But it did last for like 4 more years.
Right.
So, I mean, but I guess he was trying to be like, could be. Speaking of, from here, he was working on music, Philip Michael Thomas. He had signed several artists to like a label. He was living in Miami. He was doing theater.
Yes.
And
what was he doing? Please tell me.
He had like a theater where he actually was doing a lot of like youth performances and stuff, but he had a theater, he had music, and he was in an episode after this of Superboy, which he was particularly excited about and thought this is a really good episode and it could become a recurring role. It didn't. It was just one off.
Does he just think that about everything? Everything's
he is
be a
so positive.
Role?
He's very positive. I have to look at. Did you hear his song? The song was just about a wonderful day he had in Miami.
Yeah, that's true. Crystal blue water.
Colors that sparkle on buildings like ice cream.
Come like ice cream.
Colors that sparkle on buildings like ice cream.
Like ice cream. Also, I've never seen ice cream sparkle. ever.
Well, we, like you said, you've never vacationed in Miami.
Yeah, that's so true. That's true.
Maybe you have to go. But from here, eventually, in 1994, Philip Michael Thomas became the spokesperson for Psychic Readers Network for years until he was replaced by Miss Cleo.
Oh.
At which point he sued and was awarded a big settlement.
So is that, so what is he?
I bet he saw that coming too. He knew that was how it was going to turn out.
100%. I thought that when that network went bankrupt, I was like, you didn't see that coming?
He saw it coming. He was like, I'm gonna get some big, and I see a big cash reward coming.
So
my
did
way.
He retire after that? What is he doing now?
He was still, he's occasionally, he still does, he's a voiceover. He was in one of the Grand Theft Auto video games. He was in Vice City. He was like the lead character.
Vice City was 20 years ago, Ryan.
Okay, I don't know what he's doing. I don't know what he's doing at this
We're
moment.
Upset at Ryan. I'm doing voices for video game characters.
Let me call him. Let me call him and see what he's doing. All right, that's it for this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. If you would like to listen to all of our episodes, you can go to our website, newworldpicturespodcast.com. That's where we'll have all of our episodes, including all the episodes in the upcoming month of April Sweeps, where you can listen to us talk about the movies of New World Television. Also at our website, you can buy a t-shirt. Please buy a t-shirt. We don't have a Patreon, but what we do have is a variety of designs of t-shirts you can buy. You can also, they don't have to be t-shirts. You can also get sweatshirts. If you don't want sweatshirts, you can get a pillow. You can get stickers. You can get all sorts of things.
You can get a clock.
You can get a clock.
A clock?
A clock. Yes.
What time is it? It's New World time. What time is it? New World Podcast Pictures time. What? I'll work on that.
It's fine. It's fine.
It's good. It's pretty good.
But that, clock does sparkle like ice cream.
It's time for clocky. Look at it, shocky. It's dinner time.
We cannot guarantee that that's what it's going to do at the top of each hour. But in any case, you can buy those things. If that would be great if you did that. That would help us out. But another thing you could do is tell people about the show. Mm. Tell everybody. Get more people to enjoy us, to enjoy this show as we
talk
about
us.
To enjoy us. To get more people to enjoy us.
Can you enjoy us, please?
Please enjoy us. And also tell time and
to enjoy me.
By the song.
Rich and the famous, Miami can't be beat. Lots of friendly faces, a tropical oasis, 24/7 a day. It's hot. Cool, it's a tropical jewel. My paradise here in the sun. Dog track and horse.
He went into dog.